Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to The Teacher. I'm your host, Muhammad, and I'm really happy to be with you. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of the Muslim Ummah. Stay tuned. Salamu alaikum. Welcome back, dear listeners of the program, The Teacher, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Well, today's topic is the importance of the Muslim Ummah. The Muslim Ummah is basically the Muslim nation, but it is not limited to just one country like other nations. In fact, it includes all Muslims throughout the world and every single Muslim, whether they're living in Muslim countries or non-Muslim countries. Perhaps one of the reasons the Muslim Ummah is really important is that if they are united, they will exert great influence in the world. For example, they can help each other when in need. They can help each other economically speaking, politically speaking, and they can have all kinds of strong ties with one another, like business ties, economic, and cultural ties. Now, for Muslims to be united, it seems simple, and it is, but we tend to make it complicated ourselves. I mean, how hard is it for all Muslims to be together, to pursue common goals, and to fight the common enemies all around the world? For example, the Arian powers seek to undermine Islam and Muslims. And so, if the Muslim Ummah is united and does not fall into the traps of the enemies, which one of them is to sow the seeds of discord among Muslims, all their plots will be foiled. The good thing about the Muslim Ummah is that nationality and ethnicity is not relevant. As long as someone is a Muslim, he is a member of the Muslim Ummah. So, Muslim Arabs, Iranians, Pakistanis, Afghanis, African, European, and even American Muslims are all members of the Muslim Ummah, and they should have good relations with one another and try to preserve the unity of the Muslim Ummah. Okay, for the Muslim nations of different countries being united, this is not enough. The governments of those countries must also be united with other Muslim governments. If this happens, Muslims will have a very prosperous life without too many problems and difficulties. You're listening to The Teacher, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the importance of the Muslim Ummah, but we're not done yet. I will further explain the importance of the Muslim Ummah in a couple of minutes. So let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji, and we'll be right back.
من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
We turn our attention to a beautiful statement, a very thought-provoking
saying from the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. And in the tradition, the Prophet speaks in terms of what he fears for his ummah, for his community. There are many traditions in the same wording of things that the Prophet fears. And obviously when we read any of these traditions, we need to be very aware and acute of the circumstances and the situations that we ourselves are in, and reflect on the words and think about our own personal situation and predicament that we find within the Muslim community today or at any time. And in this tradition, the Prophet guides us to three things that he worries about. Three fears he has for this ummah, this community, which is the best of communities, the forgiven community, the one whom the Quran calls the best of nations. With all of those accolades that we have, the Prophet still fears for us and the community on a whole. And in this tradition, the Prophet says the following of what he fears for the nation of Muslims. Indeed, I fear three things for my community: obeying their greed, following their desires, and an astray leader. In this tradition, the Prophet fears three specific things for us, the believers. One is obeying our greed, because we know that when we obey our greed, when we are tempted and allured by this power of greed, this really has the potential to make us do the worst of sins. Theft becomes common when we have greed, when we obey that greed. Killing can become common when we want to satiate and appease that greed that we have within our lives and we can't get what we want through legitimate means. Lying, so many other sins and evil actions can all come forth when we obey our greed and when we let the passions and desires get to us. And so at the second level, the Prophet says, after obeying the greed, he fears his followers following and obeying their lower desires to be the second thing of a fear that the Prophet has for us. Now, following the desires can take place in many different ways and forms. It could be following our sexual desires. It could be following the desire and passion to be a leader. People who are megalomaniacs, who thrive on being the authority, the power in a family, in a community, in a society, that they always want to be elected to president, to this power, to that position, to always be in charge. You know, there are many people like that in the Muslim world today. Heads of state are like that. Heads of families are like that. Heads of non-profit religious organizations are like this. They have to be in charge. The Prophet fears obedience of people's passions and desires. This can be detrimental for the believer. And last but not least, the Prophet fears a leader who has gone astray. And that could be either a political leader or it could be a religious leader. Nobody is immune from corruption. We see this in the world today around us. People of every religion, even if they're men of the cloth, if they're clergy, there are many who are evil, many who are using and manipulating the religion for their own benefit. People who are manipulating people under their control to suit their personal whims and desires. People who would easily siphon off the bank balance of their religious institution to gamble it away at a casino. People who would follow the people who would become astray on the political scene and corrupt and bring corruption in their society. And maybe that's why we have the beautiful tradition from the Prophet where he warns us and he tells us that if two groups of his community are on the right path, humanity will be okay. But if two groups have diverted from the path, that they can divert all of humanity. The Prophet says that these are the ulama and the umara, the leaders, the religious leaders, the scholars, and the political leaders and shakers of a society. If these two groups are corrupt, they can corrupt everybody. But if they're straight and they're on the right path and they're working truly for the sake of God, for the betterment of society, then they can bring about a revolution in the thought pattern of the people to make everybody on the straight path. And so as we continue on in these thoughts of the week, let us ensure that we remove these evils from our lives if we have them within ourselves. Greed, let us try to remove this greed and avarice from our lives. Let us try to shun our passions and desires, control our passions, ensure that they are within the right means of Islam, and keep away from us becoming corrupt leaders, that we don't have that tribulation put upon us, that we become a leader who is then corrupt and corrupting society. Let us ask God for all of these and many more benefits, that we can be protected in our religion and as followers of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. May God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
my Ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way.
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to The Teacher. We're continuing our discussion on the importance of the Muslim Ummah. We said that preserving unity among Muslims and the Muslim Ummah is really, really important. Why? Because if we want Islam to be the original Islam, the genuine Islam, not the Islam that is made up by our enemies, which seek to plunder and pillage our resources, we must stay united, fight them ideologically speaking, not necessarily militarily speaking, and preserve the precepts and laws of Islam, which actually seek to make us prosperous in this world and the other world, that is, the hereafter. Just think about it. What would happen if Muslims were disunited and at each other's throats? And that is exactly what the enemies wish to happen. To put it simply, they would divide and conquer. They would take advantage of our dispute with one another and turn Islam into something which has no role in our social lives. So the issue is about politics. Can we separate politics from our religion, Islam? No. If we look at the history of Islam, during the time of the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt, we see that Islam is a very political religion, and when we talk about the Muslim Ummah, we don't just mean the Muslim people, we also mean the Muslim rulers. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, formed an Islamic government and implemented all the laws of Islam. Nevertheless, we can see that Allah wants Islam to be disseminated not just to one region, but all over the world, as it is mentioned in the Quran and the narrations. Okay, another big issue is the Shia-Sunni issue. The biggest wish of the enemy is for the Shia and Sunni to be in conflict. We don't want that. We have so many things in common. Why should we only look at our differences? In fact, the idea of the unity of the Muslim Ummah is for the Shia and Sunni Muslims to be united. They worship the same one God. They both believe in the Prophet, the Holy Quran. They both perform the Hajj pilgrimage. And most importantly, their enemies are the same. That is, those who are against Islam and its policies. To sum up, in order for the goals of the Muslim Ummah to be achieved, all Muslims, whether they are Shia or Sunni, must be united. Thank you so much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to the program The Teacher. We hope you enjoyed this show. Don't forget to log on to our website at parsetoday.com. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care. La ilaha illallah.